Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Hey, everyone. Have you been to the Organic Gardener Podcast website and signed up for our email list? If you go there, you will get my new PDF, 7 Awesome Ways to Find More Time in Your Garden. And it's just some tips that I've learned from listening to my amazing guests who are always sharing with us super effective ways to be a better gardener. So if you head over to the organicgardenerpodcast.com and enter your email, you'll get 7 awesome ways to find more time in your garden. You can also get a copy of our ebook of Organic Gardening Basics. And just all the show notes are there, all the links to our show. So, and I'll be sending out some Golden Seeds newsletters as I get them done. And of course, you'll get a special invitation to join the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook community. Hope to see you there.
This is Caitlin.
Hey, Caitlin. This is Jackie Beyer from the Organic Gardener Podcast. How's it going?
Yes, hi, Jackie. It's going great. How about you?
I'm good. So are
good.
You on the East Coast? Where are you at?
I sure am. I am actually in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I was thinking you might be in Pennsylvania. Okay.
Yep.
And have you done a podcast before?
I've done a couple radio interviews, podcasts. I'm actually completely new at. I'll be completely honest with you. So, if it's anything
I like to tell everybody because it's recorded. Like, if you need to take a break, if you want to change an answer, you want to think about something and come back to it, they're super easy to edit. So, I just always like to tell everybody that. I was thinking maybe you might have more experience than most people, but, it's really, it's fun, it's easy, and just, like I said, it's really easy to put me on hold. Skype's really good.
About that.
Perfect.
Podcasting's
so fun. We'll have a good time, trust me.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun.
I'm excited.
I have an amazing audience. I call them the green future growers because they're growing us a greener future.
So, that's awesome.
And it's just, I just feel blessed to be the host and get to share their stories. And I get to hear them first. And just, I wish I could spend more time on it. So, but I teach second grade full time and teaching is a challenge for me. So I kind of like have to spend a lot of extra time preparing.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Teachers do. We're all like pulling our hair out right now and just like looking at each other like, oh my gosh, it's just constantly one thing after another. Math assessments, writing assessments, Common Core standards. What standard are you meeting? How are you meeting this standard? Are you sure you're following the 4 negotiables? Are you teaching these every day? Are you teaching the kids academic talk? Are you do you have your grades in? Do you have your member centered lesson plans? And like everything, it's like 20 things for every subject. I just feel like, the kids are
insane.
The poor kids don't ever get a break, so they're like bouncing off the walls all the time. Like if they could have, our kids only get 1 recess a day. If they could have 3 recesses, I think it would really improve their test scores more than anything.
I remember back in my day we at least had 2 to 3 recesses, so I'm not sure
they have one at They have one if they get to school between 7:30 and we go pick them up at 8:10. And they have one then, but there's so many kids at the school, half of them sit in the lunchroom and half of them get the gym and they switch every other week. So the weeks your kids go out, and then a lot of them, their parents drop them off right at 8:00, so they don't get that recess anyway. And it's dark.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And it's just crazy, because there's 150 second graders and there's 170 maybe. There's 9 second grade teachers, I think, and 8 third grade teachers, but they have bigger classes. And just, there's 100, like we're walking in the hallways. There's 350 kids moving in the hallway at one time, going in all sorts of different directions.
Oh my gosh.
Go outside. I take my kids around the, I go out either the gym door or the cafeteria door, and we go the back route to my classroom. Cause I get like claustrophobic with all those kids moving in the hallway.
Yeah,
it's just too much. And like making my kids, I'm like, they don't get, you know, we're always like, don't talk when you're, you know, don't talk during class. Don't talk. Or if you are talking during class, you know, it has to be like you're specifically talking about how to add 3 + 7, you know, or 75 plus 25. You know, we're into double digit numbers right now. This is like, oh, my gosh. Anyway, sorry to like.
No,
thanks for the coming on a Saturday. So yeah, anyway, the point was I have wonderful guests. So you're going to be one of them. So let's share because we're up to like 12 minutes and we haven't even started talking yet. All right. So welcome to the Organic Gardener podcast today. I'm super excited because I have a guest that's going to talk about something that's very important for gardeners. She's from Deer Busters and it's going to talk about the importance of deer fencing in gardens, not just to protect your crops and flower beds, but also the danger of Lyme disease, which can be spread by deer. And personally, I had a friend right after high school and college who got Lyme disease and was very sick in the hospital for a really long time. So I know firsthand how dangerous and like how debilitating it can be if you happen to get that. And so according to the National Center for Biological Information, which is a division of the National Institute of Health, the use of deer fencing has been proven to reduce the risk of Lyme disease by 83 to 97%. And for sure, we have deer fencing everywhere here in Montana. I mean, we always have deer in our yard and stuff. So we have to have, I mean, we tried in the beginning to plant outside of our house, like in the front of my house, there's no fence. Everything's towards the back. And just, I don't know how many times we've been frustrated because the deer just ate everything, you know, and it's like, it's beautiful. And all of a sudden you wake up one morning and all the flowers are gone. So, but the thing about the Lyme disease is that if deer don't enter the area surrounding your home, it says new deer ticks become limited and eventually existing deer ticks become scarce. So Deer Busters serves homeowners, gardeners, and farmers alike with the highest quality deer fencing materials for lawns and gardens. Their mission is to deer-proof gardens, and that's just what they do. Choosing a deer fence from Deer Busters means that homeowners will receive an easy-to-install deer fence kit. So my listeners also know, like, that's right up my alley, easy to install, because if I didn't have Mike, I'd be lost. Using top-of-the-line fence parts. So to hear more about Deer Busters is Kaylin Bingaman. So welcome to the show, Kaylin.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Thanks for having me today. Truly excited. So I think it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, because like I said, you know, I have a lot of personal experience with deer fencing for sure. So, but, you know, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, like where you're at or from and what?
So I'm native to Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, which that's actually where Deer Busters is located. You may be familiar with maybe Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which is a highly historical place, and that's like a half hour away from here. So yeah, I was born in Waynesboro, and that's basically where I've stayed. And a couple years ago, I joined the Deer Busters fencing company team at deerbusters.com, basically. So I know a good bit about the deer fencing thing. I really enjoy being outdoors. I love gardening, hiking, you name it. I love the outside. I'm more of an adventurous type of person. So, I'm basically a local here to Waynesboro. We have deer all over the place. So I'm quite familiar with some of the problems that a lot of people might be encountering out there with the deer. So, yeah. a little bit about me.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
That sounds exciting. Yeah. And like I said, I love being outdoors and hiking and going on adventures. I'm not too big of an adventure junkie. I like to keep it mellow, but for sure, I like to go see new places. So, have you ever been to Montana?
I've never been there. That's actually on my bucket list. I'd love to come out. I've been a little southern in the southern states. I think I've been as far as like Virginia, lower Virginia, but I haven't been, you know, out west. I haven't been out that way. So I would love to come out sometime to see it, and definitely on my bucket list. So yeah.
And now another thing I always talk about my listeners that I call the green future growers is that I love millennials, and it sounds like you're a millennial, right?
Yes, I sure am. Cool. Yeah.
All right. Well, if you yep. come out and check out Glacier National Park, hit me up or send me an email and we could connect. And
really? Yeah.
I don't know how much I could show you around, but we could have a visit. And oh,
yeah. I would love that.
I'm right next to Glacier National Park. And like the school I teach in is on the other side. So I actually drive right under it and through a very tiny, short part of it every weekend. Like I've crossed the Continental Divide, I think. 350 times now at least. So yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, I'm very blessed. So, but yeah, it'd be fun. So there's a great group on Facebook called the Glacier Gals that go hiking that I found. Mm-hmm. And so it's been really fun. It's very, she's very limited. She only takes like 12 people at a time. So it's kind of hard to get into her groups, but I've met some other people from there that are way fun. Anyway, little sidetrack there. So tell us, like, I always like to start the show kind of asking about your very first gardening experience. You know, were you a kid? Were you an adult? Would you grow? Who were you mm-hmm. with? Like, what was your very first experience about?
My very first gardening experience. Well, you know, I got to give a shout out definitely to my pap. He is a huge gardener. Every year he plants this amazing garden, and he grows anything that you can imagine from tomatoes to beans to he has apple trees, anything that you can think of he has. And he basically taught me a lot about gardening. He taught me the small things that, believe it or not, you know, it's kind of important. Some things, you know, people would not try, but for example, he uses old like watering jugs, and he basically just uses a needle size hole, and he just, you know, just puts a couple holes in the bottom of the jug, and he sits it at the base of his tomato plants. So it works really well to keep them, you know, hydrated during the day. But he also, you know, he just kind of learned that on his own, I guess, knowing that over time, if it gets too hot, you know, sometimes they get different spots on them, it wouldn't work right. So, I learned a lot from him, just from watching him do it and the love that he has for gardening. It kind of grew on me. So yeah, definitely. I'm a huge fan of gardening, and ever since I was really little, that's basically what I started learning how to do.
Yeah. Nice. So is that kind of like how you learned how to garden organically, or like, was there another way, or did he garden organically, do you think?
Basically, yeah. I mean, I have to give it all to him, the credit. I mean, he's taught me a lot now. My dad also gardens, and we do have a small garden here at our house. And we do have some deer that run around, like, behind our house. We have a field and some woods. So we did have to put a fence up around our garden as well. And when it comes to gardening organically, I'm not, you know, 100%, you know, I don't want to say it, I'm not a professional, but I've definitely learned a lot from my pap. I mean, he's definitely taught me a good bit about it. Yeah.
Nice. Maybe he'll do an interview with me sometime.
I'm sure he'd love that. Yes.
Cool. Well, so do you want to tell us about something that grew well this year in your garden, or like last season? It would be last summer?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, between me and my neighbor, we actually both have pretty decent sized gardens. And this year I tried growing, they're different kind of like a cherry tomato. I've never actually seen them before. Half of it is more of a purple color than a red. So I'm not really sure exactly what it was considered. I think it was like some sort of cherry drop or something it was called. But they were actually really good and rich in flavor. And I, you know, it was the first time I ever planted those kind, so I wasn't sure how they would turn out. But they actually turned out really well. We also had a lot of luck with the zucchinis this year. They were nice. Growing everywhere. And cucumbers, anything you can name, we normally try. Unfortunately, I've been trying to get my pumpkin patch to work. I've been working on a pumpkin patch, and I'm having a little bit of a problem with that, so I'm still working on the pumpkins, but I tried to grow one of the bigger pumpkins this year, and it died, so that didn't work out. But my neighbor,
pumpkins are hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the sun got a hold of it too much, and it just it wilted it. So yeah, I don't know. My neighbor, he does grapes. So he has like a grapevine, and that's mm-hmm. pretty cool how that works. So yeah, I mean, for this year, we're actually just starting to get into where people are starting to grow things and where they're starting to garden. So my goal is to make a better garden each year. I'm going to aim for it. I think I can do it. I'm gonna try to plant as much stuff as I can and just see what happens. So
we'll all right. see what happens. So is there something you're excited to do different next year? Like something you're going to try new that you haven't done before?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to plant some fruits. I want to plant some strawberries. I want to try doing a grapevine, like my neighbor. I want to do that. And some raspberries. I want to get into the more fruit type deal. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to that. We planted some apple trees, so I'm looking forward to seeing how they go. And yeah, there's a lot of different things I'm looking forward to hopefully working out.
Nice. I always yeah. say, like, I talk a lot about, I've been trying to come up with like a challenge for my listeners. And I always say if I was going to start small, I would start with like two beds and a raspberry patch. Strawberries yeah. are good too. I don't know. We have a raspberry patch and I just love it when we go out there, like when they're ripe and getting to pick like handfuls. Mike picked me a handful of raspberries, or just being out there with their coffee in the morning. Like, that's one of my favorite garden things. So I think you're going to like that a lot. And then Mike planted like, I think like 14 fruit trees a few years ago. And I cannot stop. Every year I'm shocked at how many apples we get, like how much fruit those trees yeah. produce. Cause even they're pretty tiny, you know, some of them are pretty small. And then mm-hmm. our one that we planted in 2005, it just produces like, it's just unbelievable. So I think you'll like that. Great.
That's awesome. So yeah, thank you.
Do you want to tell us about yeah. something that maybe didn't work so well, or, you know, didn't go as you planned last season?
Of course. I mean, we all, you know, everyone who plants a garden, they always normally, hopefully everything works out great for you. But at least with my experience, every year there's normally something that does not work out too well, right? So we did have, and I'm trying to remember, obviously my pumpkin patch did not work out well. I think we tried growing peppers, I believe. And I believe that was something that did not work at all. I'm not sure what went wrong with that, but none of them seemed to work. And we ended up having to go buy peppers. So, but yeah.
I was surprised at how Mike had grown peppers last year in two different types of dirt. The dirt that he used made a huge difference. You could really see a difference in the leaves and the mm-hmm. plants based on the dirt. So maybe a lot of my guests have talked about doing the soil test to like yes. just, that's been a big thing. Like, test your soil and see mm-hmm. if there's some, they said that Elliot Coleman found that he was like missing some obscure nutrient or something. And it's just, that can really change really? Your success yeah. rate. Yep.
Check it out. So, maybe that's what was going on for us. Yeah. I'm not sure, actually. That might be a good idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Before we get to the root of things, we're going to thank our sponsors and affiliate links. Organifi Green Juice is a gently dried superfood mix that supports health, mental clarity, while detoxifying your body, all in one delicious drink. What I love about Organifi, it makes me feel great. It's easy. It doesn't take much time. It's full of nutrients and superfoods that I have a hard time getting anywhere else, and it just tastes delicious. Now, as a teacher, you all know that our time is totally limited. I have kids in my classroom from 7:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. So just even using this simple thing can be difficult for me, but I can pull it off and so can you. If you want to feel good and get all your greens in a simple, easy drink, remember, you can get a discount as an Organic Gardener podcast listener by entering code OGP16, and Organifi will give you a 15% discount now. So just go to Organifi.com, and when you go to checkout, enter code OGP16, and they'll give you 15% off your order anytime. Did you know that you could support the Organic Gardener podcast without doing anything differently? If you're going to buy something on Amazon.com, since I'm an Amazon affiliate, If you go to Amazon through a link on my page, which every book that is listed on my website is linked to Amazon.com, you don't have to buy that book, but anything you buy that day from Amazon will give me a very, very small commission. But I got to tell you, it would sure help pay for, you know, just some of the basics it costs to keep the podcast up there. And now let's get to the root of things. Which is your least favorite activity to do in the garden? Like, is there something you have to force yourself to get out there and do?
Oh, the weeding part. We all don't like weeding, so that has to be one of the worst. So, I mean, the weeds, if you don't, you know, stay on top of them, they seem to grow everywhere this year. I do have a goal of putting down some of that fabric stuff so that it does maybe work out a little bit for me. Last year, we actually did not have any of the fabric down, so the weeds were just overbearing at times, and I spent, I think, half of my life out there trying to pull all the weeds out. So, yeah, I think that's probably the worst thing. I don't mind the watering. I don't mind, you know, obviously, you know, harvesting the stuff off the plants, but and the planting part's probably my favorite, just to see everything grow. But it's just the weeding part that I'm not a big fan of, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we all have felt that when, like, we let beds get away from us or something. Like, my husband's really good about getting those weeds when they're really tiny. And I've had a lot of guests talk about their favorite hoe to get those weeds out of there when they're really tiny. I even had this guy from Russia post in the Facebook group the other day this really cool new tool that they've invented over there. But I think we've all had those years where, like, something got away from us and all of a sudden the weeds have, like, outgrown everything. So, and then I guess, so for your favorite activity, it's planting?
Planting, definitely. And just watching the stuff grow. I mean, I think after planting, you know, the actual plant itself and just watching it grow over time, it's just a weird, satisfying thing. Just watching it and knowing that you're doing a good job because it's obviously working, it's growing, and of course eating the stuff, that has to be one of the best things as well afterwards. So definitely between planning and being able to eat what you get is probably the best. Absolutely.
So let's just go to, what's your favorite recipe from the garden?
My favorite recipe, it would have to be a BLT. That's definitely, and that's, it's a bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich. It's like my favorite thing in the world. I think in the summertime, after the tomatoes get ripe, I believe that's just my thing. I think I eat a BLT like every day. I love it. That's my favorite. So
nice.
Yeah.
How about, what's the best gardening advice you've ever received?
You know, don't give up on it. Sometimes people tend to, you know, they plant the stuff, they're all wound up in the beginning, and then after they get everything in the ground, it's like they just stop caring for the garden as much. And I think you got to really care for it from day one to, and believe it or not, even in the wintertime, whenever it might not seem like you can do anything for your garden, it's still really important. Like, you can make sure that it's taken care of throughout the year, and it'll basically, I don't want to say it, it'll definitely benefit you in the end because you've cared for it throughout the entire year, and you'll just notice a huge difference in how good it'll turn out.
Yeah. And like, even like with snow everywhere, I'm saving compost and just, I'm sitting here right now looking at all the birds. Like, my big goal has been to grow sunflowers to feed the birds. I'm not anywhere near that. I tried to grow 750 sunflowers one year, and I thought that was going to be a ton. And then I realized I need to grow, like, 750, like, every 3 days or every week, like, put that many seeds in the ground. It's a lot of bird seed.
I love sunflowers. So.
But that's, like, part of, to me, taking care of the garden now is feeding the birds and, I don't know. How about a favorite tool that you like to use? If you had to move and can only take one tool with you, what could you not live without?
Well, my favorite tool. Oh my. This is probably going to be weird, but I really like the tiller in the beginning, the till up the soil. I think that is awesome. I just love the thing. It's pretty big, but I just like it. It's just something about just turning that soil up. It's something I love. So I think if I had to choose one tool, it would be the tiller, definitely.
All right.
Hands down.
How about a favorite internet resource? Anywhere you like to go on the internet to like learn about gardening or things, or it could be cooking too, or just any, I don't know.
Actually, besides deerbusters.com for the company I work for, we actually do have another website. It's called mastergardening.com. I'm not sure, you might be familiar with that. I don't know if you've been able to check that out, but we do have a gardening website. It has a lot of good tools available for you, maybe a lot of blog posts with tips. So I actually really love our website. It's once again, it's mastergardening.com. So if you have a second to get on there and check it out, I definitely would recommend going there and just seeing what we have to offer. It's a pretty cool website.
I've been there before. I didn't know that was your guys's website. I didn't realize, because I've seen them on Twitter, I think, or Instagram or somewhere. I've seen that logo come up a lot of times, and I know I've been to this website before. Oh, how interesting.
So
Cool.
that's really cool. I'm glad you asked me that
I
because,
am
yeah, I
too.
mean, yeah,
All
please
right.
check it
How
out.
about a Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
How about a favorite reading material, like a book or a magazine?
Oh my. There's a lot of different magazines that we get. I actually enjoy, and I forget what it's called. I apologize about that, but it does come out every year and has a lot of the plants that you can actually buy out of the catalog. So I really enjoy that one. I actually do have one laying around here somewhere because I'm getting ready to purchase some stuff through that. But I just really enjoy taking a look at it just to see if there's something new I want to try out. They normally have a few pages in there of different stories, like gardening stories from people, and some of them do actually contain, deer stories of people with deer problems and just different tips and stuff, how to grow different things. So it's probably one of my favorites, and I know it has a yellow cover on it. I know that's not going to help anyone, but it's something. I
Does it
forget
have
what it's
like
called.
the actual pit? Like, is it the Fedco magazine catalog?
It
I
might
don't know, but.
yeah. It might be actually, and I don't know where it's at, but I would definitely get it for you and tell you what it says.
But
Yeah,
I
it's
think seed catalogs in general is a great resource.
Yes, and I think that's kind of what it is, and it's really nice actually. I really enjoy looking through it every year, and I know I have it around here somewhere, so I should
All
probably
right.
take a look at it.
Well, you could always send me an email and I'll put the link in the show notes.
Perfect.
So this is where I usually talk about like business advice for listeners, but so this would be a good place to talk about Deer Busters.
Okay. So Deer Busters, we've been around for over 30 years now. We started out as a small installation company for actually, it was a cattle fencing company, or a livestock fencing company in the very beginning. So we started in 1984. And yeah, so we've been around for a little while, and we actually found out after doing that for about 10 years, we started to get a lot of requests for deer fencing. And the first couple that came through, we were like, yeah, there's deer out there, but we didn't think it was that big of a problem at the time. Well, come to find out, a lot more of the developments were going in. So the housing developments, it was actually taking the forest away from the deer. So that's their habitat. So they were finding out that the deer were actually living in the backyards, and they were finding food in the gardens. And of course, that's when Lyme disease started to really pick up as well. So we were getting so many requests as, talking about deer and their gardens and their orchards and nurseries. So We looked into some products and we found some things that seemed to work really great for people, and it spread nationwide really fast. We started up our Deer Busters website, so that's deerbusters.com, and people just went crazy over this stuff, and now we're selling it, of course, nationwide, and also in Canada. So it's been great, and it's going really, really well. We sell poly fencing. We sell metal fencing, like steel hex web, which works well with the smaller critters that might give you problems, like rabbits, groundhogs, anything small that also munches on your garden. We also have welded wire and fixed knot, along with the posts and the accessories, everything that you would need for a successful system. So it's a little bit about us in the beginning, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Well, do you want to talk a little more about this? Because you sent me some samples, and that was one of my husband's comments, was that the smaller chicken wire type of seemed like really good. And then when I looked online, we saw that you had the metal fencing that's very similar to what he uses. So, but like, now, the big thing is like it comes with the kit, right? And so people, like, they don't have to do any work, and or not that they don't have to do any work, but like it's not like a difficult thing. Like it'd be something like I could do. Whereas the fencing that Mike's built, like he like, you know, cut down the trees and like, you know, peeled the bark off and like, you know, dug these giant post holes and like nailed it all together and cut these posts that are so this would be something more like that I could do. Even
more, it's very customer friendly. It's very easy to install, and I always say, if I can do it, trust me, you can do it. And I've been able to install a couple of these systems just for video purposes, just for showing customers how it works. And basically, you know, the posts are so easy to install themselves. We have a ground sleeve system, which you may be familiar with. It's basically the ground sleeve goes into the ground first, and then the post actually slides into the sleeve, meaning that you would not have to get on a ladder and you wouldn't have to dig any really big holes for our posts. You would actually just drive that ground sleeve in the ground, and then the post just simply slides into that sleeve. Makes it really easy, and normally homeowners can install the fencing within about 2 to 3 days at the most. But yeah, it's definitely really easy stuff to work with. Our poly material that you may have been able to see in our sample packets, it's a lightweight material, so the rolls, they aren't too heavy, but they're also very durable. Like our very standard fence, it starts out at heavy duty and then it works its way up. We also have an Ultramax, which is our highest poly available right now. So it starts out a 650-pound breaking strength per foot on the heavy duty, and then it works its way up to a 1,400-pound breaking strength per foot. And then, of course, we have the different metal fencing options. So the steel hex web that she was mentioning, it resembles a chicken wire type material, and it's galvanized, and then it's PVC coated. So it is black, and a lot of people use that not only for deer, but also for the smaller rodents that could be giving you a problem. So some people use poly at the top, and then they put that rodent barrier at the bottom, which is our steel hex web. And some people just use the steel hex web. We have it available in 8-foot heights to 7.5, and we also have it in 2-foot heights for the very bottom, if that's what you're looking for. And then we have welded wire, which is galvanized and then PVC coated as well. And depending on which height you're looking at, I know that our 8-foot height has a 2-inch by 4-inch mesh. And as you go smaller, the holes seem to get a little smaller as well. So I think like our 3-foot fence for that actually has like 1.5 inch by 1.5 inch mesh size. And then we have fixed knot, which of course is the heavy duty stuff. And when I say heavy duty, I mean these rolls weigh like 400 pounds each. So that's of course a heavier material, and you're looking at like 40 years for that. So yeah, it's all up to preference. The different products that we have available, you know, a lot of customers, they'd call us after they visit our website, they'd get on deerbusters.com and they'll see that, you know, we do offer different options. They're not sure what might best suit their needs. So they'll call us and we're more than happy to help you, walk you through what might be your best solution for that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, definitely dealing with rodents and gophers and just different animals has been a big challenge. Like, a lot of my guests have talked about that, and I've had listeners and people in the Facebook group talk about that. And so it's nice to have an option that's not like, you know, put out food poisoning or something, like, you know, not... or trap them and, you know, end up like, I've, you know, so I really like that part, that this is just going to keep them out to begin with. And, you know, and then, like I said, just like the deer, there's nothing worse than, I was just talking to somebody the other day who was talking about the gophers came in and ate all her crops and she was just disappointed.
So
she was going to use like some kind of, I can't remember, was she going to use row covers or high tunnels or something to try to like plant more in a secluded thing. So, and then, like I said, you know, in Montana, we definitely have a lot of deer problems, but, and, you know, it's just like, my husband's just gotten so frustrated. He just doesn't grow anything outside of the fence anymore, but he's pretty big on making fences. So, and then that chicken wire. And then the other thing I was thinking, like when we first started, before he put in, because we've been doing this, like I was telling you in the pre-chat, I've been here since I was 21 and Mike and I got married when I was like 25. So I've been here almost 25 years. And so when we very first started out, he made these very small, they were almost like tents, kind of like there were like two triangle things on each side of the bed. And then he had these, you know, like a, I don't know, how do I explain it? Like a, it was like 4 foot by 10 foot little thing with like chicken wire and then just, you know, wood around the outside. And he would lift those off and that would, and so what I like about this is it would be really light. So, and deer are definitely, and the other thing I was thinking about, the black poly thing, like I'm thinking of my mom's yard with that she finally fenced in for her dog. And there was like, there was always this one hedge along the back and she never wanted to have a fence there because she didn't want it to be ugly. And I think that this would have just blended in. You wouldn't even see it.
Absolutely. Yeah. This stuff, we do offer the poly, the steel hex. I mean, really everything that we have to offer is virtually invisible to the eye. The fixed knot, of course, is a little bit more outstanding because that is like a galvanized that does not have a PVC coating. You can get it black coated, but for the most part, our poly material and our steel hex and welded wire, it's actually virtually invisible to the eye, about 20 feet away. So, you know, for those who wants to put it around their yard and for those who wants to put it around a garden, you actually want to be able to see your garden, right? So, yeah, it's definitely a really friendly material to use simply because you're not trying to block out your neighbor. Or maybe you are, but with our fencing, you actually, it is very virtually invisible, so you can see right through it. And I always try to tell people, you know, who put it up, they don't want to feel like they're in a prison, they don't want to feel like we're contained, but you won't feel that way because it's so invisible to the eye, you can hardly tell there's a barrier there, so it's very, very good stuff to use.
Yep. Nice. All right. Well, anything else you want to say before we get to my final question?
I mean, I guess I can just let people know we do have a website. It's deerbusters.com. You can get on there. You can, if you would like samples, you can request samples. If you'd like to see the material, if you have an idea of an area that you'd like to put a fence up, you can actually request a quote through us as well. You can reach me there directly. I can give you my direct line. That's 240-439-6685. Or if you would like to call the Deer Busters toll-free line, it's 888-422-3337. And anyone there would be more than happy to help you. I'm not the only one there. So, anyone who answers the phone, I mean, they're all very good, so I can't tell you who's better and who's not, but we're all very good, and if anyone out there needs our help, please give us a call or email us or, you know, reach out to us. We'll be more than happy to help. So, okay.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So, all right. Ready for my final question? It's kind of a doozy.
Okay, I am ready. I'm so.
If there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about or project you'd like to see put into action? Like, Keelan, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
Oh, my. That's a great question.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm going to try to tie this into deer fencing as much as possible, and I would say, you know, and this might not even be something that he would say, but the Lyme disease thing. I don't think I've really been able to touch on that, but it's actually something that it's terrible, and I do not want to see anyone have to go through it. I personally went through this, and I know that it is it's very hard to go through, and I was treated for it. Thank goodness they caught it in a good time to where it did not really hurt me too bad, and I didn't really have it, but the doctors seemed to think that was the closest to what I had. So with Lyme disease, you know, you can prevent it, and I know you mentioned it in the very beginning, with deer fencing, if you put it around your property or your garden, and mainly your properties where you would not want your deer to be. So when you have deer, you probably will have deer ticks there. And with deer fencing, you can prevent that up to 83 to 97% with our deer fencing. So I think that's one really big thing that is affecting especially the East Coast right now, the Northeast. Mm-hmm. But like I said, if you do have deer, it's a big deal, and I'm trying to really stress the fact that deer fencing is the best option to prevent that from happening. They do have sprays available. They do have different things that you can use to prevent it, but deer fencing, that's the best way to go, and I hope that might be a good answer to that question. So, yeah.
No, it's true. And there's deer everywhere. And I have a lot of listeners in New York. And so, and that's where my friend was that got it when we were in college. And it was just, I don't know, it was just a freak thing somehow. He got one of those deer ticks. And was in the hospital for a long time. Like, I want to say like 3 weeks or like almost a month or something.
Really?
It was really bad.
It's hard to go through. And hiker, being an outdoors person, that's so true, but yeah, I'm sorry, go right ahead.
Just, do you have an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
When you look around you and you see other gardens and you see them, you know, doing very well, I'm the kind of person that's just like, I aim to be higher every year. I put the bar a little bit higher. You know, just go out there, and I think the initial putting your hand in the soil thing, that's what really gets you motivated. I think when you go out there and you really start doing the garden, that's whenever you can imagine it a couple months from now flourishing. And I always tell, you know, of course, my listeners, the people who are following you, you know, just go out there and enjoy it. Go have fun, you know, don't be so serious about it. I know there's some really serious gardeners out there, but they forget to have fun. And I think if you're having fun, you'll love it even better in the end. I think it's so important to have fun nowadays, because someday it might be too late. So go out there and enjoy it. Go have fun. Try new things with your garden, and just, you know, go rock it. That's what I can say. Just go rock your garden, basically.
That was perfect. All right. Well, that was easy and fun, right?
That was awesome, Jackie. I really appreciated the opportunity, and thank you so much for having me and having Deer Busters on there. So it was great.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And then are there like some pictures you want to see? Do you have a picture of you in your garden I can put in the show notes?
I have a picture of me. I don't know if I'm in the garden, but I can definitely send you a picture if you would like a picture.
Yeah. And then are there like pictures of the fencing I can grab off the website, or you want to send me too?
Absolutely, yeah, I can do that. I could probably get you some better ones Monday morning. I don't know if that would be too late, but I can definitely...
No, there's plenty of time. I'm pretty behind.
Okay.
We're going to be lucky if this is up by April.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I'm just like, with school...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I'll send you the links and everything. And I try to transcribe them as best I can. I mean, basically, my show notes are literally my notes. Like, I just type while the person's talking. I type while I'm editing it. I try to go back, but it takes a long time. And, you know, putting the links into place, like, I always try to make sure all the links that my guest talks about are there. And then just I try to highlight the things that seem like the most important to me. And then eventually I keep hoping I'm going to take those highlighted parts and send out my newsletter to my listeners that kind of like, encompasses like the most important things. But man, it just all takes a lot of time.
So
I'm getting there.
Please take your time. And if there's anything at all that you need from me, I know that you have my email now. So. If you need anything at all, please feel free to email me. And if there's any time that you want to talk more about fencing or gardening, I'd be more than happy to do it again. It's great. I had a great time.
Yeah. So, well, look into maybe some other podcasts. Cause like I love podcasting. It's been the best way to meet my peeps and people and just, I don't know. I've lucked out. I feel so blessed. Cause not only that, my show, I had no idea. When I joined my podcasting group, I had no idea it was going to come out like this. Like, I thought it was going to be my husband teaching people how to garden. And then after listening to the other podcasters in my group, I was like, hey, maybe I should just interview other gardeners. And it's done really well. Like, I just broke 250,000 downloads right at New Year's. And that's after, having a very limited year. And even though my numbers aren't that huge... compared to the majority of people in my podcasting group, I'm doing really well. And I know it's all because of guests like you. So,
thank you so much and congratulations. That's an awesome accomplishment. And I wish you the best in your teaching. I know that it's probably stressful at times. It's something that I could not do personally. So thank you for that. And, just know that, here comes the gardening days. You'll have something to look forward to and everything will be okay.
I'm pretty excited to have the summer off. Crossing my fingers, knock on wood, I'm not going to have to get a part-time job or anything. I'm going to get to be home. And my husband's going to do big garden this year, I hope. So it's going to be nice. Uh-huh. All right. Well thanks, Caitlin.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to say.
Sorry about that. Go right ahead.
I was just going to say, enjoy your weekend. But tell me what you were going to say.
I was going to say, we always have people looking for others who might be helping install these fencing systems. So, Jackie, I don't know if you're interested, but if you wanted to help install a fence. Yeah. Yeah. But
who knows? I have done everything. You never know.
You never know.
What job I'll have. Could be.
But thank you so much for the
I'm always telling Mike that he should install gardens because we have a lot of Canadian tourists that come down to Montana. And I'm always like, you should install little gardens for these people. I'm telling you, they're way into the organics. They're all big into recycling. Canada's very, progressive. They come down here and they're like, what do you mean you guys don't have mandatory recycling? What? You have to throw the glass in the garbage? They just look at us like we're crazy. And then... they really like organic food.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It was Canadian. It was Agriculture Day the other day. I do apologize. My other phone is ringing. So, yeah. Sorry about that. So that's a big deal for the Canadians. I do agree for that.
No worries. My phone always goes off in the background. All right. Well, thanks, Caitlin. You have a great day. I'll send you the link once up. All right.
You as well. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks a lot.
Okay. I think the funniest part is I actually got an email just this morning from a listener who's like, quit interrupting your guests.
Okay. No, I feel like it was me more than anything. So I am so sorry. I just start talking and I don't know what to do. No filter. So Yeah.
Yep. I know. It's hard to be quiet. Sometimes I'm like, oh, anyway. All right. Well, have a good day.
You too, Jackie. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and remember to grow.